Okay, what we might do is I'll do your deal. We'll start now and I'll try and finish early, eh? Because the brave souls who are here at 5 o'clock at night, well done you. All right, it's been a good day, but a long day for some of you, I'm sure. And so we will do our best to hang in there for the session. 45 minutes, but see if we'll squeeze it up a little. I wonder if you have a passion for praying. You think about praying. One I used to hear when I was young was Acts, A-C-T, like the book of Acts. You have that, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Then you had to work out when you're a kid what supplication meant. But, you know, Acts, that was our kind of pattern for praying. Some people use the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for praying, so they go through each kind of line and that reminds them of something and they kind of pray a whole bunch of things under that sort of topic or that line, that heading. It gives them plenty to think about. I had a little, there's a little book, which was very long ago, by Martin Luther, but his barber asked him, how do you pray? And that's what he did. He took the Lord's Prayer and he took it apart bit by bit, and he said, here's a bunch of things you can pray under each subject, each heading. And I remember reading that a bit earlier in my Christian life and finding that a kind of useful pattern. Perhaps you have no pattern at all. You just pray what comes to mind, fine. Maybe you have a bit of a diary, or there's certain people that you pray for on certain days, or you work through a bit of a calendar. That can be quite helpful. I have a friend who does that, and I know he does that because he says to you, how are you going, and how's Adele, and how's Thea, and Ezra, and Henrietta, and Polly? He names all the children. And he does that for everyone. He names all your children. I can't remember my own kids' names half the time. How is he doing this? What magic is it? But it's because he has a list. He goes through and he regularly prays for people, and he has his family names down, and you know it because he takes an interest in you, each person. Well, you might have noticed I'm a simple fellow for a number of reasons. One is there's an awesome PowerPoint slide here. I have an old whiteboard. That could be the first clue. It's about as technological as I get. But I find simple things quite helpful. And before we moved down to Christchurch, for the last couple of years, we've been part of a, there's a group of us who planted a new church in Hastings. And the goal of the church was, we noticed there was just a lot of people in Hastings who weren't Christians, didn't know Jesus, but actually just didn't even know anything about what church or any of this was like. They just had no foundation whatsoever. And so we decided to try and plant a church where we could reach out to family, friends, people in the community in a very simple way, not expecting much of them in terms of what they understand of Christianity. We invited some young friends along to church. We thought, oh, we'll bring them along and at Christmas time, because then we're singing Christmas carols, and you don't know any church songs if you don't go to church, maybe Amazing Grace or something, but you know Christmas carols, you know, like Joy to the World and stuff like that. We had these young friends, we were singing Come All Ye Faithful. They'd never heard it before. They just knew absolutely nothing about Christmas, about Jesus, any of that. They just had, and they grew up in New Zealand, but just never heard any of this stuff before. It was all new to them. So this church was about keeping things simple, and I like to keep things simple. So I'm going to give you a simple pattern, and this is what we're going to work through for the next, for my next three sessions, so one today, two tomorrow. And actually, when we were praying, the room there with the rainbow streamers in there, is that a kid's room or just Sunday school room? I noticed it was up on the wall there, and I thought, aha, I've come to the right place. Teaspoon. You've heard of that one? If you go into a recipe book and you look it up, and they don't write teaspoon, they write TSP. Brilliant. TSP. Which can stand for, and it's up in the room there, thanks. You ever heard this one? Sorry. Please. Three simple things that we can say to God. We can say thanks. We can say sorry. We can say please. And so that's what we're going to do. Today, tonight, thanks. Tomorrow, first session, sorry. Next one, please. It's as easy as it gets. We can do this. Okay, Psalm 145. We're going to start with thanks. This is a psalm of praise or a psalm of thanks to God. And so I decided I would look at the psalm and then I would say, okay, what does this teach us about thanking God? And this can help us when we pray and we say thanks to God. Psalm See, as I say, I don't think prayer is complicated. I don't think it's meant to be complicated. It is very simple. Brand new Christians can do it. In fact, for most of us, this is how we start the Christian life. I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Please rescue me. We start with a prayer. Even brand new Christians can do it. Psalm 145, it says a psalm of praise of David. Let me read it to you, and then we'll just kind of break it up and work our way through. I will get you to be interacting again, just so I know that you are still awake, or so that you can wake your neighbour. Okay, Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Well, hopefully you can see why I've picked this psalm. It is a psalm, it is a song, it is a poem. It's a poem, apparently, if you know how to look under the hood, it starts with a new letter of the alphabet as you go through. But it is a poem of saying thanks. It is a prayer of thanks to God and of praise to God. First thing I want to point out, and there's going to be four things briefly we're going to work through for the psalm. First thing I want to point out is this psalm encourages us. We can thank God every day. We can thank God every day. I get that from verse 1 and 2. I will extol you, my Lord, the King, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Well, how often should we pray? As I say, where we used to live, we came to understand that in some religions you are to pray at very set times and very set ways. You set the alarm and that's when you're to pray. I don't feel as a Christian bound to pray at a particular time of the day or X amount of times per day. But I tell you what the psalm is telling me, that I can be and ought to be and I have enough to thank God for every single day. In fact, in some ways it's funny to ask when should I pray, isn't it, when the Bible commends us to pray continually, all the time, without ceasing, however you say it. In fact, I saw on the wee poster when I was outside this morning, always praying. That's one of the things on the wee poster out there, eh? Always praying. I thought, oh, that's it. That's what the Bible says. We can always be speaking to God. We can always, as they say, shoot up an arrow prayer. It doesn't need to be long. It doesn't need to be formal. Can always speak to God, ask him for help, say thanks, say sorry. He's always listening. But this prayer is saying, this psalm is saying, every day I will praise you. So I think it's a good pattern not only that we think about praying every day, I think it's a good pattern to think about praising every day or saying thanks every day. Which is easier on some days than others? Some days you feel like there's quite a lot to say thanks for. I don't know if you remember a time not so long ago, we called it lockdown, when we were locked down. Some people felt very isolated during that time. During lockdown, all of our children stayed home, so we had six people in our wee three-bedroom house, and I didn't feel isolated at all. I felt overwhelmed with family. But up in Hastings, I think it's true in a lot of the country, the first big lockdown, April 2021, that one. We used to go out for a walk, do your little, round the block sort of routine, and just for some reason we just had beautiful weather, all locked down. I think a lot of people had that. It was like April, May, and it's still fine weather, the Lord knew. And we'd go out for a walk and it would be beautiful and sunny, and just to get outside, and I must say during that time I felt really thankful for those really simple things, like I can go for a walk, sunny outside, it was just, it was just marvellous. Now, of course, I drive everywhere and complain, but anyway, during lockdown, there's no, I don't. The sun is shining, it's beautiful, we were all healthy, getting out of the house, easy to say thanks. And there are the days and the times in your life when actually it's really hard to say thanks. I think we went through that as a family, certainly my wife and I, at the end of last year. We were living in Hastings, I knew my work and roles and things would be changing. We didn't really know what the future was, where we were going to go. I knew what I was doing was finishing up, but we didn't know work-wise, financially, that sort of thing, what we were going to do. We felt quite unsettled about that. We had been working in the church plant, always with the intention of raising up other leaders and other teams of leaders, and that was kind of on the way, but we felt the pain of leaving our friends that we've been working with, and that was coming up. We were uncertain about the future. And then right at that point, one of our kids got quite sick. That's the one that'll get you as the parents, eh? You can get sick, that's one thing. Your kids get sick, it's another. And there was a bunch of things going on which we didn't understand, and this child was not only physically sick, but was becoming quite downcast. And my wife stays awake with worry. I sleep through anything. A gift. But even I was really struggling with what was going on. Those were the days when it's hard to think every day I should say thanks to God for something. But an example of an old friend of mine, in his, I guess he's 80s now, kept coming up. He's a lovely Christian man, and he got prostate cancer, and he was going in for an operation on this particular day. And he's a single gentleman, and lives on his own, and so didn't really kind of have people to talk through in the same way that we would. And he said, you know what, I decided the morning of my operation I was going to go for a walk, and I was going to thank God for every good thing he's ever done for me from the moment I was conceived until now. He said, I walked for 2 hours and I only got up to my 20s. Keep walking, Peter. No, that's another 6 hours. You can't do that at your 80s. But when he went back and thought about it, he thought, even at this low time, at this time where I'm struggling with illness, at this time where I'm about to have this operation, and I don't know what's going to come out the other end, at this point, think of all the things I can say thank you to God for, just the ones I can remember, 2 hours, and I've only hit the first 20 years of my 80-year life. The amazing thing was, I thought, yeah, we're going through a difficult time. Even in the lowest times, there is always something to say thank you to God for. Something. So here's your challenge. I'm going to give you a minute to chat to the people next to you, around you. What can we thank God for? Let's get practical. What can we thank God for, even in the difficult times? Don't sunshine, everything's going fine, wonderful. Thank God for that when it happens. I'm talking about even in the tricky times when we struggle. What are two or three things that we can always thank God for? And I'm going to see if we can come up with a list of 10 together. But I'll give you a minute just to chat to the person next to you. Have a go. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's see if we can come up with roughly five from each side. Now, I know more people are sitting on this side, but it may be that there's more wisdom on this side. I don't know. Fun. What do we got? What are some things we can thank God for, even in the low bits of life? Eternal life. Fantastic. His presence, right? And would you like me to do that like that or with the T's? That one, good. Yep. On the throne, he's in control. My spacing could get squishy down the bottom. Anyway. Oh, now. I should have said words that are easy to spell, shouldn't I? Anyway, I'm going to give this a go. Utility doesn't change. Thank you. Need that little squiggle red thing that comes up when it tells me I've done it wrong. Mercy's a new every morning. Great. How are we going? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, only half, really. It's given us his spirit, absolutely. He doesn't have favourites. Sorry? Yeah, loves us. Yeah, and it's... Yeah. Sometimes part of the reason we're having struggling is because we look back at the life we have lived, look back at the things that we've done. We can look back, can't we, on our lives with regret and understand that God has chosen to love people like that. Go after lost sheep and sinners. That's amazing. Yeah. He is good. Works all things for good. He's coming back. Here we go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10. Look at us go. Very good. None of which changes. Despite my life going like this. Or this. These things are still true and things that we can still thank God for, even in our lowest lows. We can thank God every day. Second thing from the psalm, we can thank God in every generation. We get that from verses 3 to 7. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I'll meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of your power and your awesome works, and I'll proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. One generation will commend your works to another. Every generation of God's people need to teach the next generation of God's people why we should thank God and what God has done that is worthy of praise and thanks. So verse 5, they will speak of your glory and splendor, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. The psalmist is saying, I'll pass it on. Someone's passed it on to David. David's saying, yep, I've learned. I'll pass it on. I'll tell the next generation of your wonderful works and why they should praise you. I wonder if you've ever thought of prayer like that, thought of prayers and prayers of praise and thanks to God as teaching. I think sometimes when we think of prayer, and you know it's both, but sometimes when we think of prayer, your mind sort of goes to our private prayer, the prayers that we pray, perhaps in the mornings when you read our Bible, in the evenings when you read your Bible, the prayers that you pray during the day, the short prayers that you think of. When you think about problems with prayer, you think about the struggles that I'm having in my own prayer life. Fantastic, all we're thinking about. But also to think of prayer as an opportunity to praise and to thank God for what he's done and to, in doing that, to teach other people what God has done through our prayers. Now, I grew up, and some of you would have grown up too, going to church. And my parents took me along to church every week. And I left home when I was 17. And it dawned on me, first weekend I was not at home. Church is optional. You don't have to go. I never would have known that growing up, because you had to go. My parents were very faithful in taking me along to church. And what do we learn from at church? What we learn from the songs? Hey, great songs that teach Bible truths. That's how we speak to one another and teach one another. Obviously, we learn when the Bible is opened and it's read and it's explained to us. I got to go to Sunday school and youth and camps and things like that, rally. You learn from the Bible. And of course, we learn when we hear other people pray. Because they're thanking God for the great things that he has done, and we're hearing about those great things. It doesn't matter if we're not learning something new every week. Maybe we're just being reminded of the great things that God has done as people pray. As I say, for my friend Peter, when he goes on his two-hour walk and thanks God for everything, that teaches me something. I'm learning from his prayer. Now, I don't know how you learn. Some people learn by reading books. It's a great way to learn. I find that difficult. I wasn't a big reader as a kid. An understatement. I didn't read as a kid. And so I did read The Sleeping Tuatara, if anyone's interested. Great book. That's about the sum total of it. So now I'll read to learn, but I find it tricky. Some people learn now they jump, question about anything, jump on YouTube. There's a video that'll tell you how to do just about anything on YouTube. That's the way they want to learn. When I was working, so the first job I ever had, I worked in radio, and I used to sit in the back of a production studio, and there'd be a guy sitting there, and he'd have all these, this big desk full of buttons, and kind of like one of those, but all these buttons there and everywhere, and recorders and computers and all sorts of things. And he would be making ads or producing things for the radio, and I would sit in the back of the studio and I'd watch him. That's how I figured out I learned. I'd watch him do everything. And then when he was finished for the day and he left, I'd get on there and have a go. And then when something didn't quite sound right, I'd sneak out and think, well, he'll just fix that in the morning. I'd learn by watching and then learn by doing. And I wonder if we think about that in terms of our prayers. When you pray and you praise God for his mighty deeds and you thank him, when somebody's at the front of church or when they jump up in Bible study group or at the front of youth group and they're praying and they're thanking God for who he is and for what he's done, people are learning how to pray by being there and by hearing these things. We should thank God in every generation, and we should teach the next generation why it is that it's so good to thank God and what they can thank God for. So here's a question to check out. I'm not going to get you to discuss this one because we'll crack on. But it is interesting to think, is that how do younger Christians learn to pray in our church? Now again, we might not think of that if we've kind of grown up in this environment. But if somebody comes along, they're a brand new Christian, how do they learn to pray? And what role does hearing other people pray and thanking God play in teaching them how to pray? Third one, we should thank God with his word. I get that from verse 8. We should thank God with his word. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of your glory, of the glory of your kingdom, and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Did anyone hear in there a quotation from another part of the Bible? Anyone catch that? David snuck it in. You might have one of those Bibles that's got a little letter or something and it points you down. It's in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. Does anyone know where that comes from? Remember? Yep. And first comes in Exodus. Yeah. You might remember when Moses wants to see God. Moses is given this massive task of wants to see God. God passes by and declares his name and his character really as he goes past. He says, I'm the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding steadfast love and faithfulness. Remember that part? Actually, let me just read it. You don't have to turn if you don't want it. It's Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And this is what Moses hears about the Lord. He says, he passes in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. You get this interesting declaration from God that I am the God who is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger, and I forgive. And I'm the God who punishes sin and wickedness. Think, now how does this work out? What does it mean, 1,000 generations to the third and fourth generation? How can you be the God who both forgives and the God who deals with and punishes wickedness? And then you get to the cross, and there is Jesus being punished for wickedness and sin, but it's not his wickedness and sin, of course, because he never did anything wrong. It's my wickedness and sin that he's taking on. It's yours if you put your trust in him. It's your wickedness and sin that Jesus is taking on himself on the cross. And at that very moment, you get to see that God both punishes wickedness and sin. He can't let it go. He is a just God. But at the same time, he's a gracious, patient, and forgiving God, because Jesus is winning your forgiveness on the cross. Well, David hasn't got all that inside just yet, but he does know what God is like, and so he praises God because he is the Lord who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. David uses the Bible to pray. David turns the Bible into prayer and praise. David thanks God for what God is like as it is revealed in the Bible, in the scriptures. So we should thank God with his word. One of my children keeps a journal. Wouldn't her father love to know what's in that little journal? No, I wouldn't look in that. But she does. Every single night she goes to bed and she writes what's gone on. And she's our quietest child and our shyest child. And it actually would be very, very interesting to see what's in the journal, because I think you'd really, so, you know, she's one of those kids, you know, how was your day? How was your catch up with her? How was this? How was it? Good. Fine. One of those ones, you just get nothing out of her. Ooh, wouldn't you love to crack into that journal and see what's really going on in there and see what she's really like? Well, you know, here's God's journal, and when David wants to know what God is really like and praise him and thank him for what he's really like, it's in here. God tells us what he's like, he tells us who he is, and he tells us what he's doing. We've got a whole lifetime of things to thank God for in here. we can thank him with his word. I don't know if you've ever done that, taken a favourite verse or a passage of the Bible you like and turn it into a prayer. You might have a favourite verse, that actually is one of my favourite passages, that passage in Exodus, but you might have a favourite passage and you think, I love this passage, or I love this verse, I love this story. What do I see about God in there? How can I turn it into a prayer of thanks and a prayer of praise? Let me give you one example. Again, you don't have to turn here. John 16:33. It's another verse that I think depends on what you like. I love this one. I'm a bit of a glass half full sort of person, generally speaking. You know, this is magic, isn't it? The verses come up there. Fantastic. Okay, there it is on the screen. I am a bit of a glass half full person, and I do see the problems and the issues and the whatevers in this world, and I've found this verse very helpful. It's Jesus talking to his disciples, and obviously you know he's preparing them for his coming death and for his resurrection, but also for their ministry and what they'll get up to when he's gone. And he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Some of you may totally amen and agree with Jesus when he says, when you overhear him saying to the disciples, but when he says to us, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, he has overcome the world. We've just had a great explanation of this idea of world and what that means. This present evil age. And Jesus has smashed it and won the victory, and one day we'll see it. So take heart, he's overcome the world. Thank God with his word. God, in this world I have trouble, but thank you that Jesus has overcome the world. Last one. Thank God who gives us what we need. Thank God who gives us what we need. I came up with a very general heading for verse 13 to the end, because there's just lots of stuff in here. So here's one way of looking at it. It speaks about a bunch of things that God does for the psalmist. It speaks about a number of ways in which God looks after and cares for his people and how he gives them what they need. So Psalm 145 verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. It's not selfish to thank God for all the good things that he's given you, because every good thing that you have, God has given you. In these verses, he offers us a place in his eternal kingdom. He is trustworthy. He keeps all his promises. He is faithful in everything he does. He upholds those who fall. He lifts up the lonely. He gives food at the proper time. We were just looking at some verses in the rally training. Remember, do not worry about your life. Look how God cares for the ravens. You're so much more important than the birds. He gives food at the proper time. He satisfies our desires. He is righteous, he is faithful, he is near to us when we call, he hears our cries and he saves, he watches over his people, and he will destroy the wicked. Thank God he will destroy the wicked, and wickedness and sin will be no more. As I say, I used to work in radio, and I had, used to work in Palmerston North for a company there, and we had a boss who, he was a tough guy, but he was fair. I liked him. He was a hard man. He's not a Christian man. He was a tough guy, but he was fair. And there were times when I was at the very bottom of the rung. I was still a schoolboy when I started working there. But there were times when something might go wrong, and I'm just down the very bottom of the ladder, and I might be having a falling out with someone who's much more important in the company. But he was the kind of fair person that, even though I was down here and someone else might be up there, if they were wrong and this was right, he would treat you like that. I always appreciated working for him. He was a straight shooter. And so when this company bought another company down the road in Paraparaumu and Kapiti, he said, look, I just finished school exams. He said, look, can you go down and live down there for a few months and help us out? We're having some problems at this new radio station they bought and whatever it was. So I went down there and I worked really hard, night and day, for a few months to help them get back on track before I moved down south to start studying. And I always remember in my leaving card, he wrote, because I've been with this company for a few years, but he wrote, thanks for all your hard work in Kapiti, the boss. That's what he called himself, that's what we called him, just in case he didn't know. And I always felt like I was actually happy to go, and, you know, it was hard work, but he was the kind of guy that you're always happy to do that for, because of how he treated me. He was good to me. He was kind. He told me off when I needed it, but he was fair. And so he's the kind of person who says, thanks for doing this for me. It's like, well, of course. I kind of felt like I owed him one. And so it's almost like, hey, don't thank me for doing this. You've been a great boss to me. This is just kind of me paying you back. This is how the relationship goes. No need to say thanks. Well, we don't need a certificate for praying every day and saying thanks to God. God has been kind to us. It's just what we owe. It's just what he deserves. We're not doing him any favours when we praise him, in a way. We're not doing any favours when we teach the next generation to praise. He's such a great God. It's just what he deserves. Every day thanks, because every good thing we have, God has given us. If you're not sure what to say thank you for, go to his word. In fact, a lot of things have come up from here. We know because we've been told in his word. This is what God is like. This is what he does. This is what he will do. This is what we can thank him for. It's just right. We owe him thanks. So let me give you a couple of minutes in small groups where you are. Let's just say some prayers of thanks to God to finish up tonight. If you're not sure what to pray, there's 10 things there. But anything's fair game. One sentence prayer, a short prayer, is just fine. Don't worry about that. But let's just in small groups, if you're comfortable, let's just say some short prayers of thanks to God. We've had a bit of time doing that. We'll finish up. Okay. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.